You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to United Hour, your one-stop shop for all things Manchester United. I'm your host, Imran.
I'm Colm.
And woohoo, we've signed some players, Colm. We actually have made some transfers.
Yeah, we've made the transfers that everyone would have expected so far. But yeah, it certainly feels better than a couple of weeks ago when you and I and Nick were talking.
Yeah, I mean, back, I think it was, 3 weeks ago now, we'd made zero transfers. But again, we kind of expected these three players to arrive, and I guess now that they have, it's something worth discussing, as it's more concrete, obviously. But we'll start with today. So Lisandro Martinez was announced today. The 5'8" diminutive Argentinian.
I think
he's gonna get shorter as this podcast goes on. Don't worry.
I mean, he as a man under 6 foot, he will fight for every inch and everyone. I mean, I obviously maybe that is relevant to you, Imran. I'm not sure. I'm over 6 foot.
Yes, I'm 5'8". You know, the other week I read an internet article, so it must be true that 5'8" is the perfect height for the ideal man. Must be true. It's on the internet.
Sounds like you've been Google searching something and you're getting some reassurance from the old Google machine. Obviously 6'1" is perfect. And it's a shame for Martinez, and I'm sure that's what makes him so angry and tenacious as a footballer. But I'm more than happy.
Right. So we spent 55 million euros. It could rise to something along the lines of 65 to 70 million euros with all like add-ons, and if we become the best club in the world, I imagine that'll be. But it is still, in English terms, that's about 40 million. So it's a big outlay for a centre back, but it is what we've been spending on centre backs. It's in the same avenue as Varane, Lindelof, Bailly. I am so jaded from our last 15 years of buying mediocre centre backs that flatter to deceive that I just cannot get excited about this transfer at all. The cynic in me just doesn't allow it.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I'm quite excited. It does feel like we'll never find a good centre back like everyone else seems to find them. It does seem like a bit of a plague position for us. And you're right, we just go for the same kind of, level of money from level of club centre back that we expect to be a monster, and it doesn't quite translate. But I do really like this guy. I think his quality of passing is superb. For me, the big query is just moving to England. It's just a completely different league, both in terms of quality, but in terms of style, physicality, everything. So that's a slight worry, Also, I think just the pressure of playing at United a little bit as well seems to be an issue for a lot of our centre backs in terms of concentration and nerves and mistakes. But that's, a very individual thing as well. I mean, we just have to spin the roulette again, don't we? Because despite Bailly's preseason form, the other ones are not quite it, Lindelof, I really like him, but he's probably not a starter for a top team unless he's in a very favourable partnership. And Bailly, again, has all the qualities to do it, but just is too mental. So he's not going to do it either. And Varane, I don't know how much he'll play. I really like him, but he's certainly not someone to pin your future on. So I'm glad we've made the signing. If we don't have Erik ten Hag as a manager, do we sign this guy? No, we do not. So that's a weird one. If Pau Torres goes to some other club and looks amazing, should we feel silly? Probably, because I believe we could have got him if we wanted him. We possibly could have even got him for less than we're paying Ajax, which seems surprising to me, given this kind of profile of both those players. But, Martinez, player of the year, he is a bit older. He's been there and done that. And, the Ajax fans would tell you he's a super, super player. So, but they say that about everyone we buy, and they always look crap.
He's following in the footsteps of Daley Blind in a way. That he came from Ajax around the same sort of profile, similar stature of footballer. Also, you could say arguably the same attributes in that they've got a good passing, although Martinez isn't the speed of a snail, so that helps. But yeah, and then also, but then I'm also drawn to the other Argentinian centre back that we've had, Marcus Rojo. You kind of hope that he's more in the style of Blind than Rojo.
Interestingly, if you took Blint and Rojo and fused them into one player, it might well be Martinez, because he does have that fiery launch into a tackle kind of.
Well, as long as it's not two-footed, then.
Yeah, exactly. Over the top every single time, minutes after coming onto the pitch. But yeah, so he definitely has that in him. I think that spirit and that fire. But as you say, like ball at his feet, he's a bit more like Blint, probably.
So Race of this Parish has done a little video on the strengths of Martinez on Pythagoras in Boots, his Instagram. You can check that out. And he really shines a light on his passing, and he calls him a world-class ball player from the back. So, I mean, we haven't had that for some time, I would say. Lindelof's all right, to be fair. He's kind of grown up with his ball.
He is all right, but he's not actually as good as he was touted, I don't think.
No, he's not.
To be honest. Although I do wonder if every defender just comes to our team and looks immediately worse. But, I mean, Martinez had, like, most touches in the league, most passes into the final third, most successful forward passes. Like, his stats and his level for that kind of progressive centre-back play is literally the best in Eredivisie. So, it's just a question of where that translates. Imran, however, if there was one person it was going to translate under, you know, he's going to a new system and a new manager. He's going to the last manager he had, basically. So that continuity should be good. I just wonder what the pecking order is now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. My next question is, does he start? Is he
back? I think he does.
You think he did? Well, I mean, you don't spend 50 million on a centre back for him to warm the bench, even though the rest of our centre backs warming the bench cost that much. But
exactly. Yeah. I think long term he starts. I don't know if there's a little bit of, easing the way into it that Ten Hag has to kind of get through in terms of giving everyone a fair whack. But I think Lindelof is absolutely a backup at this point. And I think Varane will rule himself out more often than not. But I think it will be Maguire and him more often than not, because equally, you know, the last game, I think in the Melbourne game, Maguire played right centre-back while Lindelof played left centre-back, which we would normally see the other way around. However, if he's coming in to play left centre-back, then Maguire needs to get more comfortable playing right centre-back, and therefore, possibly that is why he started there. Because otherwise, why would you mix up the way it's always been for Lindelof and Maguire, you know?
Yeah, and then do you think it's a possibility that we go three at the back?
I would love it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I can see it happening at times. I feel like we'll be quite adaptable this season. I don't think he's just going to be rigid with a four. And I can see him, when he definitely does do a three at the back, it won't be Shaw at that left centre-back that we saw under Ole. I think it will be, obviously, Martinez is more suited to that. But I can kind of see him going for that, especially in big games.
I'd love us to. I really would. I think we're suited to it now. I think we have more centre-backs. We have more good centre-backs than we have nearly every other position. And I think it would help our
fullback. Well, we don't have any holding midfielders either, do we? We don't need any midfielders, so...
Exactly, and I think that gives us that, kind of solves that problem, particularly if we get De Jong. I think, you know, the midfield becomes immediately more comfortable with three centre-backs behind them, and if Martinez is the one who can step out to good effect. I also think Luke Shaw is a very credible left centre-back, although you need then, you know, maybe Terrell could step in there. But yeah, I do think we have great options for five at the back. It gets a wee bit more difficult with you then have limited positions up the pitch to fit in, you know, our 7-10s and our... host of inverted forwards. So that's a wee bit trickier. But I would love to see it, and I would love to see it quite a lot so that we know it. But at the moment, I mean, we haven't seen it obviously in the two games, but that's not to say it won't come.
Yeah, it would be ideal if we were in a scenario where halfway through the season our team can easily turn up as a 4-2-3-1, 4-2-2, 5-3-2, and it doesn't matter, because the system's already ingrained, the way we play is already ingrained, that we can be that adaptable and it's fine. Obviously, it's asking quite a lot, I guess, in a short space of time.
It is asking a lot. That would be my reservation, is that teams that do five at the whack well do it week in, week out. You know, Chelsea under Tuchel, he came in and he said, well, we're playing five at the back, and they have literally done that, like, I think almost in every game since he came in. You know,
yeah.
So I just think it's one of those things where it'd be very impressive to do it and then not do it and do it and not do it and do it and not do it. I think that's something we've tried, and I don't know if it kind of robs Peter to pay Paul, if you know what I mean. But it's kind of a Football Manager thing where you have like three tactical setups and your team just does them all and it's class. I don't know if it's a real, but, I don't know if it's a real life thing at Premier League level.
But I don't think Ajax played three at the back, did they? So he's been
I don't think he's. Yeah, I don't think it's known for Ten Hag. Could be mistaken, but I don't think it's in his repertoire as yet. That's not to say he might not change, but I don't know if that's factually true. But my indication was that he plays like a 4-2-3-1 diamond or something similar to that kind of thing.
And just to cover it off, a few people I saw were saying, "Oh, we've signed him to be a defensive midfielder," and I really don't think that's the case because, well, he's not played there for 3 years. And if we're going to buy a defensive midfielder, you'd buy a defensive midfielder. You wouldn't buy a centre back and then try put him in a position that he's unfamiliar with. So I really don't see him. Maybe a couple of years down the line, maybe if that's where it works out. But you'd imagine first and foremost, we bought him to be a centre back. And yeah, I do. Like you said, I do think we've signed him to be a starter. Mainly because, I mean, you'd think Varane has to start as well. But how often is Varane going to be available? Who knows?
And fully sharp and fit and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. And ultimately, we're in the position where we have those three centre-backs and you can play any three of them, any two of them at any given time and it's fine. And that would be great. And then Lindelof is your backup and then Bailey's your backup and then Jones is your backup. So, you know, it all works out with a million centre-backs.
Some centre-backs probably need to try and find themselves other clubs at this point. I think Baez did a good job of putting himself in the shop window, to be fair. Not that he has any indication of wanting to leave. Phil Jones, who knows, as ever. But yeah, I don't think we'll see him playing centre midfield very much. Possibly if, say, you know, Varane and Maguire strike up a formidable partnership and he just can't get a game, then it might be a solution to pop him in as a DM. But we've bought him as a centre-back. I'm 99% sure that's where he'll play all of his games for us. But people love to ascribe new positions to people. Do you know what I mean? There's a thread on the calf there last week. Should Scott McTominay just be a striker for us? And it's like, just turn off your internet. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've had too much.
Still doesn't rival. I once saw a should Jesse Lingard be our defensive midfielder, and that was that was my peak. One of those. So Colm, cards on the table. Will he be a success? Yes or no? We don't want halfway between me. Yes or no? Success.
Martinez. Yes, I actually think he will be a cult figure and possibly a future captain.
There you go. You've heard it from Colm there. If he's wrong, you can pelt him with all you want. The other signing we've made, at the other end of the spectrum, free of charge, Christian Eriksen, comes in on a 3-year contract. I'm very happy with this signing. I love Christian Eriksen. I think he's a fantastic player. He's my kind of player in that he's all more about technique and the quality he possesses than him like charging around blood and thunder that you get. And he obviously had a great spell at Brentford after nearly dying on the pitch. So he's obviously back. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing a United shirt. What do you think of that signing, Colm?
Yeah, I love it. I was really glad that there weren't that many other suitors and it came down to us and Brentford. As soon as it was down to us and Brentford, I was pretty confident that we were going to get his signature. And I'm delighted, particularly with Mata leaving. I think that's a great passing of the guard. I think he's probably still a more effective player than Mata was, bar the kind of first year he came to us, probably. And that's not a disservice to Mata. They're both super players, but yeah, I can't wait to see him play. I'm just so intrigued. You know, for me, on a free, he's a no-brainer, even if he doesn't necessarily slot into your team. You know, he literally plays the same position as our best player. So it's interesting to see how that'll go. I know he did play deeper for Brentford, and that's something that's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
You going to try and tell me that Bruno isn't our best player?
Well, no. I was going to say that for Brentford, he played a lot deeper. And if you look at his heat maps for Brentford, it's more that he's a number 8 than a number 10.
And that's totally fine. And that's hopefully very good. I mean, classically, he has absolutely been a number 10. But yeah, that's fine. So it's just interesting to me where he fits in, because we're now in a position where we don't have a DM, but now we do have quite a surplus of midfielders. A lot of them much more attacking-minded than they are defensively-minded, you know. So you're Donny van der Beek's, you're Bruno, you're Fred, your Christian Eriksen, and your Scott McTominay, none of them a holding midfielder. All of them want to get forward, and certainly the first three, you know, all very creative midfielders. So just interested to see how Ten Hag works that out. But yeah, I think, you know, if a player like him in the circumstance he's in is wanting to go to a bigger club and we're not jumping up and down, I'd be so disappointed. So, you know, it's a shot to nothing. We didn't waste too much time on it, and I think he'll be class. I think he'll be absolutely class for us. I think it'll take a bit of working out to figure out, you know, who plays where and how our team actually works. I think he is a player that will just prove worth on the pitch every time he's there. Basically the opposite of Van der Beek. and eventually it'll be, you just can't not pick him basically because he's so useful. I mean, his set piece delivery, his incision in his passing, and as you say, just his all round technical ability in terms of keeping the ball, which is clearly what Erik ten Hag wants from us, in that he's desperately trying to sign Frankie de Jong and not interested at all in a defensive midfielder. So, you know, I think he fits into that very, very easily. It's just a matter of who goes where.
Mm. I think, obviously, like you said, considering he's on a free transfer, it's such a low-risk transfer for us. And if we hadn't been in for him, you would have been disappointed because we just have those holes in our team and then we need to get filled with bodies. And he is a body and he's an excellent body at that. I like this transfer a lot because also it goes towards the model which I want, which is the City model and even the Chelsea model at the moment, where you don't know, like, you've got all these quality players, you don't know who's going to be in the side week to week. And that's how it should be, really. Like, you shouldn't have to be, oh, this is our 11. We're going to play this 11 all the time. Yeah. We shouldn't be in the position where Bruno has to play number 10 every single week. We have to play Bruno all the time. We should be in the position where, okay, Bruno can be on the bench and Eriksen can come in and we're not running Bruno into the ground so he's looking like a tired mess at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in that position for so long where we had Ole who just wouldn't pick certain players and you're just like, well, why are they here? You know, we saw Jesse never get picked, go to somewhere else, look quite good, come back, which most of us didn't even want in the first place, and then also still not get picked. So, you know, at what point is your squad actually credible, you know, for choice? And I think now it is, and I think Ten Hag will be much more savvy in terms of, you know, kind of moving that around and not just being totally rigid in terms of the same names week in, week out. And it's also about what position they play, you know, like City, like, you know, Silva, Gundogan, you know, they could play anywhere essentially. And sometimes they do, and it's just totally different week to week depending on who's available, who isn't available, who needs a rest, who doesn't need a rest. And it's certainly the way forward. Again, it's slightly more complicated, you know. I think it's easier just to pick the same 11, but it's not as a winning a formula, certainly. So I think he will get plenty of minutes. I also think he'll be like first sub if he isn't on the pitch. If he isn't starting, he'll be the first sub. Be very, you know, bar a complete tactical thing, but like in terms of quality, he's the one you would want to bring on in almost every situation. Do you want to keep the ball? Yeah, bring on him. Do you want to try and make a goal? Yeah, bring on him. Do you know what I mean? So he's such a good utility man. He's just a lovely bloke.
Yeah, and ultimately, if he comes here and it doesn't really work and it doesn't quite hit the highs that we hope. Yeah, it doesn't. It's free transfer. It's not like we spent 40 million on Willian or something, is it? You know,
he'll score like one nice free kick, and we'll all go woohoo. You know, like, we all love a Gallo, and how pointless a transfer was that? Like, you forget some people have played for Manchester now in the last 5 years. Christian Eriksen has already done enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about Frankie de Jong.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. So the Frankie de Jong saga rolls on. We apparently gave, like last week, it turned out we gave Barcelona, what, till Friday to accept our offer. There is an offer now accepted, but it's a whole mess with the money that Frankie de Jong's owed by Barcelona, something like £18 million or something he's still owed, or euros or whatever. And ultimately, getting him that money is where all the issues of this transfer lie. Colm, at what point do you think we should walk away from this transfer? Because I read today that Erik ten Hag has said to the club, do not walk away, even if it means signing him at the end of August, do not walk away.
Exactly, yeah. It's sort of a pointless question because Erik ten Hag has said, continue with this until we're all dead, basically. that's his instruction, if that report is to be believed. For me, you know, that depends on, do we think, if you're saying to me we have 100 million left to spend, I don't even think we probably do. I mean, I think if we get De Jong, that's our last signing. That's my personal opinion. But if the club know that, then fair enough, crack on until the end of the window with this De Jong saga. You know, I think that's actually fair enough. If they've said, and he has said, that is the player I want, and the club are clearly getting some encouragement from somewhere, well, certainly from Barca because they need the money, but some encouragement from someone in De Jong's circle or himself to say, do you know what, it's just a matter of getting this all ironed out, but yes, bear with me kind of thing, then I think it's absolutely fair because, you know, there isn't as outstanding a choice on the market as him. If a fee has already been agreed, the transfer is 90% of the way there, so you're not going to suddenly stop and give up unless De Jong is completely, truthfully, crystal clear about not wanting to come to United. And there's, I mean, a mountain of mixed reporting around that, which should all be basically disregarded. But yeah, I think they're so deep into it now, Imran, that, you know, it's get it done or don't. And I think if in the last week of the window he says no, actually, then yeah, go and panic buy another £50 million midfielder, Neves, Tielemans, someone else, you know, Sangare, whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter. You'll get someone at that point. And I do think we should still get someone. But we could get something thrashed out in a week if we had to. It just won't be as good as De Jong would be. And therefore, it's worth hanging in there with De Jong. I mean, I think probably the word deferred is the highest it's ever been in Google searching, you know, because people are like desperately trying to seek definitions of what that actually means. Because that seems to be what all this is boiling down to, is this kind of game of chicken between De Jong and Barca around, oh, I want to stay, but also you owe me loads of money. So I kind of have to say I want to stay, otherwise you maybe won't pay me that money. And then kind of how the legality of what deferred actually means. A lot of people, I think, initially assumed that that was money that was just flat out owed to him for this season just gone, or the season before where he deferred his wages due to COVID. But actually, it could mean that he literally restructured his contract so that in 2021 he earned this, 2022 he earned this, and 2023 he's actually earning a lot more. But that's totally contingent on him actually playing for them in 2023. If that's how the contract was restructured, well done, Barca, because that's a horrific idea for De Jong and his representatives.
Yeah, I can't imagine
that may be the case. I'm sure it is. I just don't know, man. Because otherwise it should be pretty straightforward. Although, again, Barca's ability just to disregard the legality of any situation is second to none in world football, it seems to me. Like, crazy. They literally are just like, they're like, just like laughing to the bank, you know, knowing that they're hemorrhaging money, but still spending loads of money. I mean, it's a crazy situation they're in. And I'm annoyed that we've become embroiled in their circus, to be honest. And I would, you know, if not for signing one of the world's best midfielders who's 25 years old or whatever, you know, we shouldn't be anywhere near it, basically, but we obviously have to be.
I mean, I don't understand how Barcelona operate at all. They spent, what, 40 million yesterday on Lewandowski, 55 million on Rafinha, a couple more transfers going in, and yet they still can't pay De Jong 20 million that they owe him.
Well, I mean, they can't register the players they've bought.
Yeah, they can't register any of them until they make some sales. It's all just absolutely bonkers. And I'm with you. I find it hard to believe that Frankie de Jong hasn't told Ten Hag that he's happy to come here, or that he's, you know, wants to come here. But he ultimately cannot say in the public that he wants to leave Barcelona, because it completely weakens his position of bargaining with them to get the money he's owed. So I totally understand that.
Yeah, I just don't understand what's taking so long with that bargaining. I mean, Barca know. I assumed my thing a week ago was like, okay, we've offered 60 million. But Barca owe him 20 million. So Barca want us to pay 80 million so that we effectively pay him for them to get him here.
I don't think I don't think legally we can do that, though.
Apparently that's not the problem. Yeah, apparently we're not allowed to do that. Yeah. So, but that's what I assumed was happening. And I assumed we were kind of sitting there going, here, we're not just going to pay your wages for you. We'll offer slightly more. And that was what it was all about. But now it's not even apparently about that. It's just very interesting to me. I would love to get the absolute, you know, truth clarity on it as to what the whole situation is, because, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he necessarily doesn't want to. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't want to come to United very much. And I wonder if he's kind of seen Dembele or other players who've kind of just weathered the storm at Barca in terms of being wanted to be gone. You know, last summer Dembele was like, you'll sit in the stands, we'll force you out, we don't want you here, you have to go this summer. And he didn't. And then he had a kind of shit half a year. But eventually he was like their star player. And maybe De Jong's looking at that example, just thinking, you know, next year can be a very different situation. All I have to do is get through this summer still a Barca player and let them figure out something else, and I will remain a Barca player, and I'll be playing with Lewandowski and Rafinha, and I'd rather do that in the Champions League than go to Manchester. And honestly, that wouldn't surprise me, but as you say, it's very hard to imagine. We're still so in it, and with a fee agreed with Barcelona, you know, ultimately they're going to do their best to force him out, and we just kind of want to be front of the queue, essentially, I think, which is what we're hoping on, that he is going to have to realize ultimately in a week or two that he has to go somewhere, that Barclay hate him, and that he has to go, and that we're going to be the only one standing there. What surprises me is no one else being in for him.
Well, there was that link the other week that Chelsea were in for him, and then that link disappeared after a few days. And I think what genuinely might have happened there is Chelsea might have knocked on Barca's door, seen how complicated the whole thing was. Like, nah, not for us, thanks.
Yeah, fair enough.
We'll go buy some Sterling.
Also,
thanks.
They just want to buy every centre back in world football. So,
oh yeah, they got what? Koulibaly's gone there.
Yeah, they're looking at Ake and Koundé and Kimpembe.
Kimpembe, that one I don't get. I think Kimpembe is rubbish, but.
I don't watch him enough. Every time he's played against us, he's looked awful. But certainly the new PSG manager, Gattier, isn't too keen on him. But it surprised me that like PSG aren't. Surely there's a Champions League club that would stick their hand up and say, here, we'd probably take him as well. But I don't know. I still think it'll get done. I actually do think he'll be a United player. I think it's all brinksmanship. However, there's like I'm 80% sure he'll be a United player. 20% of me thinks he'd just carry on saying, I don't want to go anywhere, and he just won't go anywhere, and it'll all just blow up in Barcelona's face.
Yeah, I'm about 80% sure he'll be a United player, but I also do think it'll probably happen.
And you know what? I'm not really unhappy either way.
It'll probably happen after the first game of the season, though, I think, which is a bit disappointing, but I can see it dragging on. And like you said, I feel like if we get Frankie de Jong, I think that's it. I think that is our transfer activity done. I would like us to buy a right back. I'd like us to get someone as a forward, but I can honestly just see De Jong and that's it, four players.
Yeah, I think if a deal really popped up, like this Jonathan Kloss, you know, if there was a right back there that was like gettable and cheap and was saying, you know, yeah, I'll 100% like disclude everyone else and go to United, then I think that could be done. I think there's talk just there tonight that Cristiano Ronaldo might go on loan back to Sporting, which seems crazy
well,
to me.
I want
to
get on to Ronaldo next. Yeah, that's a big.
But
one
that's
well,
what I mean.
Think.
If he left, or if just a deal that you couldn't pass up came, then I could see us making one more signing. But I would wager that if we get Frankie de Jong over the line, then that'll be it.
Yeah. So on Ronaldo, since we last recorded the pod, which was about 3 weeks ago, obviously came out saying he wants to leave. There's basically been zero interest in him apart from Saudi Arabia, it seems. And now we're in this kind of limbo situation where Ronaldo kind of wants to leave, but there's no one who can A, afford him, or B, wants him, and now there's rumors of loans. It's all a bit weird, and I don't know. I mean, the idea of him leaving now has made me quite keen on him going, to the point where if he stays, I'll be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I reconcile myself because we don't have any strikers at the club, so that's helpful. That
yeah, but
you
imagine
stay.
If we sold him, we'd have to get someone in. Like if we sold Ronaldo, you'd have to imagine
Rashford, Martial looking pretty good.
I do not want to be relying on Martial for a whole season.
No,
of football.
Not for a Premier League season. I think people get lulled into preseason. Me very much one of those people. But for a full season, that's a nightmare. And I also think like he cannot do preseason with us because he's Ronaldo and he's a diva basically, and he still gets picked on the first day against Brighton and he'll still probably score between 20 and 30 goals. But, you know, how much will our general play be affected? I'm with you. If someone came in, I would love us to sell him. I was disappointed he didn't take the Saudi money, to be honest. I was really happy about that. But I understand him, you know, wanting to carry on notching up one or two more Champions League goals to, be remembered forever, because he is just that vain kind of person, I suppose. But it's just impossible to see where he goes now. I mean, Bayern have kind of ruled themselves out, but they are the obvious one because they've just lost Lewandowski and he might just absolutely take the piss out of the German league. But they seem quite switched on and recognizing it'll probably ruin their style of play as well, so they're not going to fall into the trap that we did a little bit. Chelsea, I think the exact same thing. There is kind of a hole for him there that you could see him filling in a good way, but they also seem mature enough as a football club to realise that a 38-year-old striker, you know, fairly well past his prime, but still an elite goal scorer who's going to probably impact your quality of play quite severely. I mean, there was a really telling stat that came out there that was like, the season before he joined Juve scored 88 goals in the league. The two seasons after, they scored 67 and 67, but he scored like 30 goals. And the same at United, the season before, we scored like, it was the Greenwood, Martial, Rashford year, where we scored like as many goals as Liverpool. And then the year after, when Ronaldo came, we scored like 15 less goals, but he scored 25. And it's just that classic thing of he will get goals himself. your team will be less good and less slick and less... I do think there's a team that can be built that is perfect for him and probably wins everything, you know, but you have to get it so specific and so right just to feed him and to have the kind of quality around him and the kind of work hard around him that he can be basically do nothing other than get involved in attacks. And even at that, only getting involved in attacks near the box because he just kind of kills build-up play, basically. He's just not very good at it anymore. However, we don't have any strikers. No one else wants him. 1 year more with him and then he has to go, I can make my peace with. And I would hope we would have big plans to buy a proper striker the year after or have definitive research on the Martial experiment on its seventh iteration. That would also be fine. But yeah, I think most people should get used to the idea that he will be starting against Brighton or shortly thereafter and be with us for the year. And after that, hopefully he'll go somewhere else in the summer next summer. But I mean, if he went this summer, I'd be delighted as well.
Yeah, I would be. I'm hoping he goes. And plus, do you not think he's done any damage to his standing with fans?
No, I don't think he's done any damage. Yeah, with the fans a little bit, but like no one cares about fans, so it doesn't really matter. With the team, no. I know there was a few reports saying people, you know, couldn't express themselves, blah blah. Doesn't really matter. You know, Eric Ten Hag wants him and wants to start him, and everyone else better just put up with it kind of thing. You know. My reason for wanting him to go is because I want us to get back to the proper level we should be and play the kind of football I want us to. And even though that might mean if we lose Ronaldo this year without a proper replacement, we have a pretty shit year, I still think it gets us to the end point quicker, if you know what I mean. So the longer Ronaldo stays, the longer it takes us to get to a level where we're competing with Chelsea and City and Liverpool, I think, to be honest.
And ultimately... In the fans' eyes, as soon as he bangs in a goal, everything will be forgotten anyway. So
no one cares anyway. I mean, like, if he can go and rape anyone he wants, then maybe. But you know, like, it just people have come back from way worse. People have said way worse. I think he said he wants to go, but does anyone blame him? Like, he's Ronaldo. He's 38 and he is desperate for Champions League goals, and we're not in the Champions League. Whose fault is that? He scored 25 goals last year. Why are we not in the Champions League? It's not his fault, really. Do you know what I mean? So I don't actually think him wanting to go is unreasonable or disrespectful. Like. He didn't have to come back to United at all, you know? Like, this is all borrowed time. To me, it doesn't really affect his, you know, legacy at United or his status at United, you know? Because everything after he left us the first time is basically pointless anyway. So it doesn't really matter, you know?
True. So we'll have to see what happens on the Ronaldo front. And that's it for transfers. But when we get back from this quick break, we'll talk about the friendlies that we've seen and what we've got coming up. Yes, welcome back. So, Colm, are you all ready for the Open Top Bus Parade for the Bangkok Champions Cup?
I mean, 100%. One game, one trophy. Eric Ten Hag. Unbelievable.
I mean, if this was Jose, he'd definitely be putting it as one of his fingers at the end of the season.
It's very Louis van Gaal preseason. Dangerous levels of overconfidence and excitement.
I mean, I am very much in the camp of friendlies mean absolutely nothing. You can gain nothing from preseason friendlies. They mean absolutely fuck all. But it is better to win than lose. So
yeah, I would just love to know if Ranić was still in charge, because basically in these friendlies, a new signing hasn't played apart from
Malasia.
Are we saying Malasia? Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, he hasn't. He's been the only one who's started and barely, if you know what I mean, or played minutes and barely. So this is literally the same team from last year. That was so horrific. And to me, visibly, the football is so much better. The effort is so much better. The energy is so much better. I don't know if that's just a break from the doom and gloom. And it also shows you the pit of despair the team was in, if you know what I mean, collectively. But yeah, I wonder if Ralph was in charge, would we be seeing the same thing? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's always things you can look out for in friendlies. And one thing that was obvious from the Liverpool game, especially, was that we were pressing better as a team. Yeah. We looked to have a little bit of a better shape. At the back, we were still a bit ropey. And got caught out quite a bit, and it's actually a miracle that Liverpool didn't score in that game. Yeah, on the ball we looked a lot better, and we actually scored some nice goals. Fred's chip, beautiful. Beautiful. What I always think though, when people score good goals in preseason, I always think, why didn't you save that for the season? I feel like Fred's wasted that now. He can't do that again.
Andreas Pereira, hasn't it? You know,
yeah, exactly. The Andreas Pereira preseason wonder goal has gone to Fred. And also, we've seen a lot of the youngsters, which has been quite good. Zidane, Iqbal, and Charlie Savage. Thought both of them looking quite impressive. Yeah. Zidane, Iqbal, especially on the turn and driving forward, not looking phased at all. But again, it's just I'm going to tamper all of this with. It's just pre-season, so anything can happen in preseason. Eric Bailly can look like the best centre back in the world, and you know,
yeah,
we'll all buy into it.
See the first half of both games. I am pretty invested in that and put quite a lot in that because it's both times, certainly against Liverpool, less so against Melbourne. It's quite close to what could be our starting 11, you know. So, and it's like the point of the game where everyone's trying the hardest. See the second halves of these games, throw them out the window, basically. And that is where slightly I feel like Iqbal and Savage and a host of other players probably get even more of an experience that is pretty far removed from Premier League football in any against any team, if you know what I mean. That's not to say they're not impressive. I mean, both times I thought Charlie Savage and Zidane Iqbal looked better than Fred McTominay on the ball and in every other sense really as well. But the game is so broken at that point. We're already 4-0 up, 3-0 up, whatever. Both teams have made 20 changes and no one really cares anymore, you know, so it's difficult to place any merit in that. But they absolutely look spot on. I mean, they both just look quality on the ball, really. And Iqbal, as you say, I mean, his ability to dribble out of situations and that kind of awareness to drop the shoulder is something that we have sorely, sorely missed. I mean, that's exactly what you're hoping for from De Jong. Yeah, but that's something we've missed big time in the middle. So both hugely impressive. I really like Robbie Savage. Kind of love hate kind of way, if you know what I mean. So him living out this like fantasy through his child is I think really cool. I really like it. But
I would like to see both of them go on loan this season, actually. Zidane, Iqbal, and Charlie Savage.
Charlie Savage and Robbie Savage. Yeah, me too.
And Robbie
Savage.
Maybe
Robbie Savage get a loan to Sky. I would like to see them go on loan. I don't think either of them are dropping into the first team at all. But they could absolutely get probably a championship loan better than a Premier League loan. But there's been a few people who haven't been able to play, which has been a wee bit disappointing. But broadly, I think those first halves, you know, I think you can see the intention with Erik ten Hag's setup. Definitely the high press is there. I mean, Ole got a press for about 3 games before they all gave up on it. So hopefully he has the ability to keep that going. Both Martial and Rashford look extremely sharp. Bruno, I thought, has looked very good. The defence has been a bit sus. I think we'll see that quite a lot through the year if we're going to consistently play this high line. I think we'll see a lot of pain with that. But I don't really mind that if we're scoring goals on the other side, you know.
So you have a big thing from me from these two friendlies that Martial, 2 games, 2 goals, and it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. There's been no real rumours of him leaving the club, and it seems like Ten Hag is, I mean, he started in both these games up top, so you'd think he's staying around as our backup striker to Ronaldo if Ronaldo stays. Are you happy to give Martial one last chance in the Last Chance Saloon?
I mean, if you had asked me like 3 months ago, I would have like just probably screamed at a wall and left the conversation. But now, yes, I am, of course. It's been 2 preseason games. He looks unreal. So, you know, it's great. I am in that it's just a sense of reality. I was quite excited about Darwin Nunez when we were in for him. But then when Liverpool got him, I wasn't that upset because I wasn't sure he was worth that money. And recent clips of, you know, may prove that right or wrong. I don't want to make any judgments too soon. But apart from him, there's been a small handful of other strikers on the market that I would have been interested in, but none that were glaringly obvious whatsoever. And in that sense, I don't want us to buy the wrong player, particularly in that position. It's just a waste. So, you know, do we buy a striker for 10, 20 million? You know, and the fellow who's just about to sign for Ajax, Erik ten Hag knows, a lot of people weren't very upset or were very upset about, you know, do you get a stopgap? It's just a complicated situation if there isn't someone obvious on the market that is actually achievable. We still don't know what's happening with Ronaldo. So for me, it's all fine. I would happily, if Ronaldo left, I would happily play Martial for an entire season and just see how it goes. And if at the end of that season you realized he's pretty much useless and he scored like 15 goals and he played 10 amazing games and 30 awful games, then okay, we buy a great striker. But if the rest of the team was playing well, it's not really a problem. So again, I don't think this next year is our most important year. It's a year to figure things out, so I don't really mind that if we carry someone in a position to give them a chance, but also, you know, mainly suspecting that they won't work out, which is how I would be going into the season if it was just Martial. Of course, he could do it. My extreme suspicion would be that he would not do it consistently enough, and therefore we'd be in the same position. But there's no one really else on the market. And actually, I think what will happen is he'll still only play 30 or 40% of the minutes because Ronaldo will play all of them.
I think I'm broadly agreeing with you there. I'm happy with him as a backup striker, definitely. Because ultimately, what's the point in going and spending money on a backup striker when obviously we don't have that money there. And
basically have one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he's there to play a handful of games, deputise for Ronaldo when Ronaldo's throwing a fit or going on holiday or whatever, then fine. I would worry if Ronaldo left and Martial was our number one striker for the season. I would worry then. I do think we would need to buy someone, either as a you're out and out number, your first choice number nine, or just someone to dovetail it with Martial who can come in.
Well, who are you buying then? Like, what are you talking, like Danny Ings? What are we saying?
This is the thing though. I am not a football scout, so I haven't got a clue. So,
yeah,
that is on them to find someone who would fit that bill, who wouldn't cost an arm and a leg, and could fill in like that. But like I said, the strikers are dying at the moment. There are no people out there to seemingly, unless you're going to unearth someone under a rock. But I mean, having said that, I do like the look of Jonathan David from.
He's one of the ones. Yeah, he's definitely one of the ones I would be happy with.
I can't remember who he plays for. Anyway, Jonathan David and the other striker Dembele as well from Lyon. They're two names, but they probably cost quite a bit. They probably cost quite a bit, but that's my very
I think there's definitely there's a small handful there that I think we could get if there were easy deals or whatever. But again, I think it'll be a non-issue because I think Ronaldo plays for us next year. Even if he didn't, I actually wouldn't mind just going Martial. I think Rashford could play a few minutes up front this year. It's not ideal. It's not great in any way, shape or form. Probably wouldn't be enough. But again, I'm hoping we have output from other areas now. I mean, I still think you need someone who's going to score more than 20 goals, obviously, and you need a number nine who can actually link the play. But I think what's happening at the moment is that people who have maybe wanted to give Martial for a chance for a while are seeing these two games, and also coupling that with the Ronaldo situation and getting themselves into a position where they believe that, you know, Martial deserves to start the season over Ronaldo because he's looked good, because he's perhaps a more fluid player in the build-up, although he's still not a perfect number nine in the build-up by any stretch of the imagination, and because Ronaldo's asked to go and hasn't been on pre-season, hasn't trained with the team, and therefore shouldn't be rewarded with a start. Those people need to absolutely arrest that point of view, because it will not be the reality. There might be a game or two at the start of the season, but Ronaldo will start over Martial every day of the week as soon as he's match fit, essentially. I would be gobsmacked if it's any different. Now, if Erik ten Hag could make that brave decision and really, you know, manage his minutes with Martial, I think that would be a victory. And probably a fair one also, but Ronaldo's going to play and Ronaldo's going to start if he's still at the club.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks how many weeks? 2 weeks, is it, until we play Brighton at home? I think it's 2 weeks.
Just slightly more, I think, yeah.
Just slightly more than 2 weeks. We've got Crystal Palace on Tuesday. It's 3 weeks.
11 a.m., another Brighton. Class 11 a.m. game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant from the home working front, that is.
Brighton's the seventh, so it is a good 3 weeks. Yeah.
A good 3 weeks to go. So a lot of moving parts till then. Maybe we'll have De Jong in, maybe Ronaldo will go, maybe Ronaldo will stay. But ultimately, I feel like De Jong or another midfielder is our last movement in the transfer window unless Ronaldo goes. So.
Do you know, it's four signings and it's plenty, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would have taken four signings.
People will still say it's not enough, but
yeah,
exactly. You have to be realistic on this front, you know. And could we have squeaked in one or two more deals? Yes, but also at what point are you just making deals to make deals, if you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think Erik ten Hag said during the week, we only want the right players, and I think that's absolutely fair enough. Now, if he thinks every player signed this window is right, then that's cool, and if he's had full input on that, I think it might have been a bit more slapdash for this window, just because he was coming in fresh and has seemingly disregarded every single one of our scouts and all their opinions. And just tried to sign people he wants, which is fine.
What do you think? What do you think about that? By the way, can I just say, like, I've seen a couple of criticisms in some circles that now we seem to have thrown everything out the window and we're just doing what Ten Hag says. But ultimately, for me, what we were doing before didn't work anyway. So,
exactly. I think at another club, it probably is bad. You know, if Chelsea sacked Tuchel and brought in Erik Ten Hag and went with this approach, or Liverpool did that and went with this approach, or anyone else really, I'd probably raise an eyebrow and think, that's a bit dodgy. That's maybe going to look like a bit of a poor decision. We couldn't be any worse at signing players at the moment. So, you know, we've already basically accepted that system is broken with the recent departures from that entire system and the change in top to bottom kind of inner workings of the club, you know, with Richard Arnold taking over, with everyone else taking over, with Woodward going, with all the scouts going, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's been a huge shakeup, but 6 months ago, if you know what I mean, if even. Really, it's just the end of the season. So, you know, it's clearly a system and a backroom that's fragmented and in need of a bit of, you know, time essentially to regroup itself and see who's going where and what we're doing and how Erik ten Hag wants it done. So I think it's a position of necessity really this summer that we've had to been like, look, this summer is just going to be a bit fast and loose. You just tell us who you want and we'll go and do that for this year, and then, you know, we'll get back on everything else. Because they've proven themselves, you know, to be categoric failures. You know, exhibit A, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. You know, you can't make that signing and then a year later be like, trust that scout. You know, it just doesn't happen. It's just unacceptable. It's sacking every day long. So, you know, I think in other situations, yes, it would look bad. And, you know, there's maybe been a reliance on Dutch league or players he's worked with before and stuff like that. But again, I just think given the big need we had to get four or five bodies in, the way our squad had just come to look so thin at the end of the year, coupled with losing a load of backroom staff, losing a load of your scout network, and also that scout network not really being reliable in any way, shape or form, and the processes around how we identify and negotiate for players not being successful or reliable. What else can you do in that situation? You know, we're in a bad summer for those things. So I don't think we've done too bad, all things considered. If they all turn into flops, then, well, it'll just be another year at Manchester United.
Yeah, I also think it's important to get some of his men in the door who are going to back him, especially with reportedly how our dressing room goes and how they've maybe or maybe not turned on other managers. Or
yeah, and just from a position of, you know, his tactics as well, not just people he knows who are of sound mind and character, which is definitely important for the Manchester United dressing room because it's full of less than desirable attitudes, clearly, is what we think over the last 5 or 6 years. But also just from a point of view of if he wants to play a certain way and he knows players can come in and do that and drive that, then again, it makes complete sense to get those players, as opposed to someone who plays a similar position, is a similar, you know, would be a similar expenditure, is a similar level of quality, level experience, but it's completely unknown to Ten Hag. You know, why would you then choose Pau Torres over Lisandro Martinez if you basically think they're, you know, about equal in terms of quality, but you know one of them inside out and the other one you're just kind of hoping?
Yeah. Yeah, from that point of view, it does make sense to go for your centre-back who you back, who has a good relationship with you and can play the way you want. So
the big fall-down will be if his estimation of the Dutch league is closer in his mind to what the Premier League is, and actually he's about to learn that there's a chasm of difference. And we know that. I feel we know that through years now of buying players that then suddenly look not good, you know? I mean, and I only need to phone Donny and have a chat with him to kind of understand that, I feel. So, you know, he might be so prideful that he will, and this might, any, he might be right to be prideful, but he might be so prideful to think, well, it's my system and it's my way of playing and I've made that Ajax team great and they were great in the Champions League, so I can make them great in the Premier League, it's all the same level, and I have probably better players at Manchester United, so I can just do that same thing and it will work, and therefore I can take 3 or 4 of these players with me. And that just might not be the case. Or it might be the case, in which case, well done that man, but it might not be.
Well, just so we'll come back later with a proper pre-season preview, but currently, with how things are shaping up, are you feeling pretty positive about the Ten Hag reign so far?
100%. I mean, I think he has a great way about him. He's got a great chin, and he seems really nice. I loved him absolutely chewing Martial out and Sancho in the open training in front of all the fans. He just has no nonsense about him. He seems super icy and just like a bit more authority. I always said before when we were talking about Ole, one of the big issues I had was that when you looked at Pep and you looked at Klopp and you looked at Pochettino and then you looked at Ole, he was totally the odd one out. And that's not to say there is a type of person that is a good manager or not. It's totally different and totally up to your own approach. And he was a good manager in many ways. But there's like, I think there's like a gravitas and an authority that the top coaches either have or don't have. And I think Erik ten Hag, you know, seems to have that. So that's really good. I love our away kit. I quite like our home kit, although it's better with the black shorts. And to be honest, the two games have been hugely positive for me. You know, to me, the players look bought in. Now, whether that lasts more than 3 games in the Premier League season, it remains to be seen. But for the time being, it's just enjoyable to watch again. I also thought against Melbourne, you know, we were able to, it was like a total difference to the Liverpool game. Liverpool game was like swashbuckling, totally open, counter-attacking, high press, great. But we've seen Ole be able to make these players do that easily, and it's pre-season, so I didn't really learn much. the Melbourne game, they were totally sat in the entire time and we went 1-0 down. And after that, I thought we actually just got better and better in terms of the zippiness of our play and the way we were spreading the ball around and kind of the ways we were trying to get at them and the tactics of it all. So that's a big thing for this team that we haven't been able to do. So again, I find that encouraging. So now I'm on cloud nine.
Yeah. So what Colm's saying there is if you can break down Melbourne, you can break down any team.
Yeah. I mean, they're all just, it's just 10 players running around. So, yeah, that's you know, it's just 10. It's just the people, exact same thing. Yeah. I mean, I think they'd give Fulham a good game.
Right. So before we go, I just need to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Manscaped. You can obviously get your Manscaped from manscaped.com. They have the performance packages, the weed whackers, all the things you need for your male grooming needs. Get one for you, get one for your family, get one for your dad, get one for your mum. She might need some grooming. Who knows? Just get onto Manscaped and use the code UnitedHour20. That's UnitedHour20 for free shipping and 20% off, of course. That's what the 20 stands for. I should have led with that. 20% off and free shipping. So yeah, get to manscaped.com, support the pod, get an order in. That's going to be it from us for today. Colm has a Love Island to get to. Colm, who's your favourites for Love Island at the moment? Who's going to win?
Adam is just come back in. He's good crack. I like him a lot. And I think Gemma Owen. Big fan of Gemma Owen. She's a sort.
So what we'll need to do, obviously, when Michael Owen comes in, we'll need to do a special pod just to review Michael Owen.
I really hope he does. I mean, the weird thing is Gemma Owen's like Michael Owen, but just a very attractive 20-year-old girl, basically. But apart from that, just...
I mean, she does sound from the very few clips I've seen. She does sound incredibly dull. So you know, like
same voice, basically the same face. Yeah, exactly. So, but no, she actually is good. She's come off it pretty well, I think. So hopefully he does go in for the Meet the Parents episode. But we'll probably be losing listeners here at a rapid rate. So the less level in chat, the better.
But this is they're all just lowering their opinion of you, Colm, by the second. And I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that personally. We need to bring it down.
I'm fine with it as well. Yeah, I know in my heart how much I like it, so there's no problem.
That's it. You be comfortable with who you are. That's it from us. We'll be back in a few weeks with a preseason pod preview. Till then, cheers, Colm.
Cheerio. Sports Social Podcast Network.